Gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. It is written, and there came a scribe and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the heaven have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. It is written, and when he was entered into a boat, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep in the hindermost part of the ship on a pillow. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Save, Lord, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Master, the tempest is raging. The billows are tossing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with blackness. No shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep, when each moment so madly is threatening a grave in the angry deep? Master, the terror is over, the elements sweetly rest. Earth's sun in the calm lake is mirrored, and heaven within my breast. Linger, O blessed Redeemer, leave me alone no more, and with joy I shall make the blessed harbor and rest on that beautiful shore. And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message, The Old Ship of Zion. The voyage of the Lord and his apostles on the Sea of Galilee in Matthew, Mark, and Luke has similarities to the old ship of Zion launched on the day of Pentecost. In 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul referred to his death sentence as a departure, and that word has the meaning of a loosing, such as of a ship, loose from its moorings and sailing out to a voyage. And that was especially appropriate for Paul, as we think of so many times of his ministry where he was associated with the sea. A casual glance of his life from Acts chapter 13 through 28 reveal at least 15 times when such statements are made as, "And they, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." And then again, "And we sailed away from Philippi when it was determined that we should sail for Italy." Then again we see, "Setting sail therefore from Troas, we made a straight course to Samothrace, and from thence to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi." And then again, "And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came to Troas in 5 days, where we tarried several days." Sailing on various voyages is mentioned many times in the life of Paul. And in addition to that, we read in 2 Corinthians 12, where he said, "Three times I was shipwrecked, and a day and a night have I been in the deep." So Paul's life was like a voyage, and so is ours. Someone has said, "One ship sails east, another sails west, by the selfsame winds that blow. 'Tis the set of the sail, and not the gale, that determines the way they go. And like the winds of the sea are the ways of time, as we journey on through life. 'Tis the set of the soul that determines the goal, and not the calm or the strife." And who can forget at least a couple of verses from Alfred Lord Tennyson's poem, "Crossing the Bar"? "Sunset and evening star, and one clear call for me, and may there be no moaning of the bar when I put out to sea. Twilight and evening bell, and after that the dark, and may there be no sadness of farewell when I embark. So come on, walk up the gangplank for a cruise on the old ship of Zion. Bon voyage." The first thing we notice is the crew on the voyage. Luke 12:6 informs us that Jesus, early in his ministry, went up into a mountain and continued all night in prayer. And the next day he looked over many of his disciples and selected 12 of the many and named them apostles. That was the crew Jesus had with him on this voyage on the Sea of Galilee. About 3 years later, after the resurrection and ascension, the apostles waited for further word, and their names are given again: Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. And that was the same crew Jesus used before on the Sea of Galilee, and he still uses that same crew on the old ship of Zion today by the words of the apostles minus Judas Iscariot. And even though the apostles have all finished their earthly course, they still serve as the crew today on the old ship of Zion, because the Lord Jesus told them in John 14:26, "But the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send to you in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said unto you." Jesus did not trust the memory of the apostles to write the story of his words and actions. He sent the Holy Spirit to prod their memory. Therefore, when we read the Word of God, we know that we are reading what really happened and what Jesus really wants us to know. The same crew that went on that voyage on the Sea of Galilee is still the same crew on the old ship of Zion today. Now we notice also that the old ship of Zion, launched on the day of Pentecost, is still afloat today because it is unsinkable. When Jesus was awakened by the crew on the Sea of Galilee and informed of the immediate danger of capsizing, the Lord, it seems, is in no hurry about stilling the tempest, because his first concern seems to be the lack of faith of the crew. "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Matthew says the crew awoke him, saying, "Save, Lord, we perish." Mark says they also said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Luke expressed their urgency this way, "Master, Master, we perish." Jesus awoke and took valuable time, upbraiding them for their lack of faith, while the boat was full of water and could sink immediately. The reason he did not still the tempest first and then question them of their faith was because even if the storm had increased in power, the boat was in no danger of sinking. It was unsinkable. The song says it best for us. No storm can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and land and sky. And the same thing applies to the old ship of Zion even unto this day. According to Matthew 16, Jesus said of the church he would build, "The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." The old ship of Zion is here today. The old ship of Zion is unsinkable. Jesus had said to the crew when they began that voyage on the Sea of Galilee, "Let us cross over unto the other side." And ladies and gentlemen, regardless of the storms that night, they were destined to land on the other side. And is also true today as far as the old ship of Zion is concerned. It also is unsinkable. And the words regarding a shipwreck where Paul was involved can be applied for us. "And it shall come to pass that we will all escape safe to land." Now the next thing we notice is the tempest itself. When Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave order to enter into the boat. Just as soon as they set sail, a great tempest arose, and the boat was filled with water. This should come as no surprise, because a ship is built for the water, and the church was built for the world. Water is a natural enemy of a boat, and the world is a natural enemy of the church. If you are sailing in the old ship of Zion, you are going to run into troubles. And remember, when it happens, Jesus is the one who sent you into the storm. It does not appear that the apostles all had smooth sailing. On the day the old ship of Zion was launched, it looked like smooth sailing. 3,000 book passage, and all things looked like smooth sailing. Then Peter and John were jailed overnight. 3,000 became 5,000. Then all the apostles were beaten and rejoiced in it. Many of the members of the body of Christ were scattered abroad, but they continued to preach Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. And from there on, throughout the inspired history of the 28 chapters of the book of Acts, the storm raged on, and the old ship of Zion sailed on in triumph. We receive letters almost weekly that tell of churches closed by the government in various nations. Members of churches write and tell us of being put in jail for simply having a Bible, and yet they continue to worship and beg for more. But the old ship of Zion, in many places, is facing rough weather of torture and physical persecution. And yet she continues to sail forward to the shore. Jesus mentioned when he said, "Let us cross over unto the other side." Here in America, Satan uses the weapon not of torture so much as ridicule. And many try to keep a low profile around people of the world, lest they be called ignorant rednecks. There is a song that says, "Must I be wafted to the skies on flowery bids of ease, while others fought to gain the prize and sail through bloody seas?" I do not know that I can tell of any church that is not having a problem of one kind or another. I do not know of any church that either has a problem, or is just getting out of a problem, or is getting ready to get into a problem. The devil and the world will see to that. If you don't have any just now, just wait a while. It'll come. Over 20 centuries later, things have not changed. Some of the congregations of the old ship of Zion are in a state of mutiny. They have taken over the ship and set the apostles' teaching adrift, as Paul indicated in 2 Timothy 4. They could not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears have turned their ears away from the truth and turned aside unto fables. In Mark 4, we are informed, a great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat. Those winds are still beating into the old ship of Zion unto this day. One of the winds will be always the hurricanes of heresy. In Acts 20, Paul instructed the elders of the great church at Ephesus in his farewell address, "I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among yourselves men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them." Another wind that blows will be and bring in the icebergs of indifference. Our way has been threatened by a greater damage to the old ship of Zion than the one that sank the Titanic. An example of this indifference is found in Matthew 24. Jesus said, "In the last days, iniquity shall be multiplied, and the love of the many shall wax cold." Hebrews 2, verse 1 says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that were heard, lest haply we drift away from them." And then a third example of the wind that beats into the boat are the gales of godlessness, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. "Or know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And then he reminds us, "But some of you have been washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the Spirit of our God." And now this question as to the identity of the Lord on this voyage of the old ship of Zion. When Jesus arose, according to Matthew and Mark, he rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. Luke makes the great calm of waters more explicit when he calls it the raging of the water. "And they ceased, and there was a great calm." Normally, when a storm ceases, the water keeps rolling gradually to a calm. Not so with the Lord. The calm was absolute and immediate. That is why the apostles declared, according to Matthew, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" It may seem a little strange to us they referred to him as a man, until we notice that Jesus was asleep. Sleep is something that men do, but God does not sleep, according to Psalms 121. Behold, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. But after the storm, they called him a man. He not only slept, but he hungered for food. We hear the apostle say to him in John 4, Rabbi, eat. And just before this, he said to the woman at the well, Give me to drink. So he apparently was a man, because John 1:14 tells us, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus became a man just like us, but he was God. And he was the man Paul referred to in Philippians 2. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, being obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him, and hath given unto him a name that is above every name, in heaven and on earth, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things on the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And now this final observation as to the salvation of the passengers on the old ship of Zion. When the storm was at its worst and seasoned sailors could not cope, they gave up and turned to the sleeping Christ and cried out, Save us, Lord, we perish. They cried out for salvation from the storm, and Jesus answered the prayer. On the voyage today, the answer to salvation was the same with a little difference. You see, on the old ship of Zion that sailed the Sea of Galilee, they were already on board the ship before they cried out, Lord, save me. They were asking for salvation from the storm. On the sea of the world today, the question of salvation came up before they came aboard the old ship of Zion. Peter began as he explained how the apostles could speak in such a way that everyone could understand the message he was about to preach. And in Acts 2:21, he declared, And it shall be that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then he began the message with those three words, Jesus of Nazareth. Then he told how Jesus was born, told the mighty miracles, went about doing good, healing all oppressed by the devil. Then he recited the trial, conviction, resurrection, ascension of Jesus to sit at the right hand of God until all his enemies are put under his feet. At that moment he told them they had killed the Lord, and they, being pricked in their hearts, cried out, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Remember, Peter said, Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, they called on the name of the Lord, and Peter told them, Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They then that called on the name of the Lord were baptized, and 3,000 became members of the old ship of Zion. Acts 2:47 states, And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, at this in conclusion, many years ago, about a week before, I was poised to enter the Bible college. The church had a 2-week revival meeting. And because the city was the home of the largest privately owned shipyard in the nation, the two song leaders wanted to have a theme chorus that would be fitting for the meeting. So they began each service with a chorus with these lines. We're sailing home. We're sailing home. Oh, won't you come on board? Our pilot is the Lord. We're sailing home. We're sailing home to the land of endless days. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been a long cruise for many of us, but we can rejoice in the prophetic words of Jesus, how he said, let us cross over unto the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Check out our website, edbousman.org. And don't forget to tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.